it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and Femi Abebefe.
Hey, this is Joe Buck, and you have done it. You have found it. You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
The great Iron Eagle.
Nick and Femi are such close friends. I would even consider getting divorced, even though I'm very happily married, just to get remarried, to have them as groomsmen. That's how much they mean to me.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT. And I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet with the most handsome single man in the radio business. A man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself. The kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
The wonderful Football Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you here on the BetMGM Network. Love the first hour of the show, breaking down two huge games coming up. Week 7, NFL Sunday. Like, time flies when you're having fun. Week 7 already in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. Talked about the Commanders and the Cowboys, why I think this is absolutely a must-win game. I know it's early in the season to say that, but this is a must-win game for the Commanders, and it's a must-win game for the Dallas Cowboys as far as the playoff picture is concerned. And a lot of time devoted to the Philadelphia Eagles and the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday in Minnesota. I believe J.J. McCarthy has got to be the Vikings quarterback if the Vikings harbor any hopes of doing anything significant this year. And regardless of who it is, I actually think this sets up as a matchup where Jalen Hurts can take advantage of the Minnesota Vikings defense. Danny Parkins will join us next hour on the show, First Things First on Fox Sports 1. Brett McMurphy, America's college football insider for our friends at On 3, next hour as well. It moved 20 minutes from now. But joining us right now on the show, the great Brian Baldinger, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Baldy, welcome back to the show. Happy Week 7, my friend.
All right, Nick. Yeah, happy. It's good to be here with you. Good to see you, man. I'm kind of like putting all of Week 6 behind me and looking ahead right now.
Let's do it. And I want to start in Minnesota with the Eagles and the Vikings, Baldy.
That's where I'm going to be.
Oh, I can't wait for it. Okay, so two-parter for you here. A, who do you think this is a three-part? As, you know, you're not supposed to do this in media. You're not supposed to ask multi-part questions. I'm going to. Sorry, everybody. Who do you think the Vikings are going to start? Who do you think they should start? And do you agree with me, Baldy, that given Brian Flores' propensity to blitz the way that he does, I don't love this Vikings secondary? I actually think that this sets up, as crazy as it sounds, for a get-right spot for Jalen Hurts and the Eagles' offense.
Well, they need one. I mean, they've been a 17-point offense, you know, two losses to Denver and the New York Giants. They need to open it up, and they need to start connecting. The offense looks dreadful at this point. Hadn't even looked good when they were 4-0 for large stretches outside of the second half against the Rams when they were down 26-7. They had to open it up. So, I mean, it'd be a good time to do it. I think they can block them up front. The Vikings aren't getting the sacks or the turnovers the way they did a year ago. But they've had 2 weeks to get ready, and the Eagles have 10 days to get ready. So it's been like mini buys for both teams. So, but I don't know. Like the Eagles, they haven't shown any signs that they can turn this around, that they can fix it, that they can run the ball the way they did a year ago. They haven't shown any signs that they can be anywhere near the offense they were a year ago. So, you know, maybe 10 days and Kevin Petullo and some team meetings and, you know, maybe they can be a little less predictable and all those kind of things. But that's a lot to change in 10 days.
Do you think Brian Flores will stick with the blitz as much as he does, well, or this will be less? Because we have seen Hurts be very good against the blitz, Baldy, and you know this better than anyone. You watch the film, right? And maybe not so good when teams just kind of sit back in coverage.
Well, they have had an issue with that, Nick. When teams are playing just this this cloud coverage and just sitting, matching up zones, and like the Giants did, like the Dallas did, they have struggled against that. You know, Brian Flores shows a lot of blitz, and then he kind of, you know, then he backs out, and you never know really what he's going to keep you off guard. You don't know where they're going to come from. They need Andrew Van Ginkel back in the lineup. He's a good playmaker for him. They've got some good pass rushers, but they do play kind of positionless defense with their front seven, and it does create some issues. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, Jalen has been pretty good in the past at either finding the hot receiver or running with it, and that's something that Minnesota is going to have to take into account.
Yesterday on the show, Baldy, we had another Odyssey Sports NFL insider, another former NFL offensive lineman, our friend Mark Schlereth on the show. He said something that I thought was really interesting, and kind of like J.J. Watt kind of piled in on PFF and their player grades, and I don't want to make this about PFF and PFF player grades, but I'm going to summarize what Mark said. That the Denver Broncos offensive line is actually not good, and the Pro Football Focus player grades and like all this like film study that you see on social media make it seem like the Broncos offensive line is great. He doesn't think the Broncos offensive line is great. And that's a fascinating thing to say heading into a game, Baldy, where the Broncos are a touchdown favorite against Dexter Lawrence and Abdul Carter and Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau and the New York Giants defensive front. So do you agree with Stink and what he said about the Broncos offensive line? And do you think that'll be problematic going up against the Giants team? Like, it's a huge spread. Like, can the Giants keep it close?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to – like, they weren't good against the Jets at all. Matt Parrott was in at left guard. He was awful, and he's hurt. So they're going to go to another guard right now. Ben Powell's been out. But, I mean, J.K. Dobbins has had a good renaissance up until last week. And Parrott was terrible. They couldn't block a linebacker for the Jets. And so that was an issue. But by and large, they have been pretty good from the standpoint of continuity. Up until last week, they basically have started, you know, the same five guys for all of Bo Nix's career. So they've had some continuity up front. And, you know, last week, losing a left guard seemed to hurt them a lot. They couldn't block the second level. We'll see who's in there at left guard this week. But the Jets played great last week. They really did. And so the Giants have watched all that. They have the capability of doing very similar things. I don't think it's just because they're in Denver that it's going to make it any easier to get the running game off and running. I mean, J.K. Dobbins had 14 carries for 40 yards. That was the worst game of the year so far for him.
Speaking of the Jets, the offense on Sunday in London, offensive. What can they do, Baldy? What can they do offensively? And like, do you feel like Aaron Glenn's kind of like losing the grip a little bit here?
Well, I mean, you know, look, like they couldn't put two plays. Their best play all day was 12 yards, and it was a bad snap from Josh Myers. The ball ended up on the ground, and Breece Hall picked it up and ran 12 yards. That was their best play all day. I mean, they couldn't block anybody. Okay, they couldn't execute a run. They had simple throws that they could have made in order to kick the game-winning field goal that Justin Fields just froze. Like, he just froze. I've seen it before from him. Like, he looked hesitant and unsure. And the plays were there to be made.
Do they need to play Tyrod?
They should have put him in there last week. They should have put Tyrod in because the game was moving
too fast. Should
he start
Sunday?
What's that?
Should Tyrod start Sunday against the Carolina Panthers?
Well, Carolina can't do the same things that Denver did with the pass rush. You know, they're not going to rush them like that. But I wouldn't have any problem if they did make the move to Tyrod. Like, he looked a lot more settled in games that he played than Justin Fields has. You can't be hesitant in this league to throw the football. And if you're going to be hesitant, you better make stick throws. And he didn't do that either. So I don't know. Like, he's their starting quarterback. I guess you got to play through it, but that was a miserable performance. It wasn't all him. The line was awful. Every single player on that line got beat badly on Sunday by those Broncos pass rush. So that was disappointing because they had played pretty good at times throughout the year.
Yeah, it was a miserable experience for Jets fans, people watching the game, a very, very forgettable game. This past Monday, though, Baldy, on a more positive note, we saw the Atlanta Falcons kind of announce themselves as a legitimate team beating the Buffalo Bills. Now they're on Sunday Night Football, making the trip all the way across the West Coast to take on a 49ers team that is incredibly banged up. We don't know if Brock Purdy or Mac Jones is going to be playing. Both guys limited at practice. They just lost Fred Warner. Can this Niners team, based on what you've seen on film, can this team protect whoever they have at quarterback against a Falcons pass rush and defense that has really impressed quite a bit over these first 6 weeks?
Yeah. The Falcons have a pass rush now. And then they have Jeff Ulbrich, who's a good play caller. You know, he's a good designer of defense. They've got really good young players that they've drafted. But I think the 49ers are going to have problems without Fred Warner in there. I mean, the combination of Bijan and Tyler Allgeier with that offense line, the way they're playing, the way they push Buffalo around. Now, I know Buffalo is as bad as anybody at stopping the run, but they gave up over 200 yards rushing. And two big rushing touchdowns of 81 and 22 yards, that the 49ers could have a lot of problems stopping that because they're a run-based offense. And then when they're not, I mean, I don't know who's going to cover Drake London. Nobody seems to be able to do it. So I think they're going to have a lot of issues. They need to just rally the way they have been doing, whoever's at quarterback. They probably need to put up 24 points offensively to be able to beat the Falcons in this game.
You Better You Bet on this Wednesday. Our guest, Odyssey Sports NFL insider Brian Baldinger. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. I actually want to go back to the Jets, Baldy, if it's okay for a second here. Like, you played at the highest level. You know what? You forgot more about this than I know. When Aaron Glenn manages the clock the way he did at the end of the first half, and then at the end of the game, like the going forward on that 4th and 8, when they can't protect and the quarterback can't complete the forward pass instead of trying a 61-yard field goal. Like, when I say, is he losing the, I know it's only 6 games. Like, it's not, he should get obviously a lot more time to prove himself here, at least this season. But when you watch this, are you thinking to yourself, like, this guy doesn't have it as far as being a head coach is concerned?
So I'm doing the Raider game in the afternoon. I'm watching that game, you know, Sunday morning out in Las Vegas. And I'm screaming at the TV at the end of the first half, Nick. There's 30 seconds to go, and they let the clock run out. They don't do anything. It's 4th and 1. I mean, get the first down, spike it, take a shot. I mean, there's a million things you can do besides letting the play run out. They need points. The defense is playing the best they've played in over a year. It was a tremendous effort. Jarvis Brownlee, Jermaine Johnson, you know, I mean, you pick a guy, like they played Marino, they played great. I was so ticked. Forget about Aaron Glenn. I was just ticked at how any football team, the way Garrett Wilson went after the coach at the end of the half, like, what are we doing? Like, give us a chance here. Like, that made no sense. Nick Folk right now, Nick, is 5 for 5 over 50 yards. He's kicked 2 58-yarders. What's the difference? Take the shot from 61. I don't know. I'm with you. They need a field goal to win. Take the 61-yarder. I mean, like, just give it a chance right here.
If you had to guess right now, do you think Aaron Glenn gets a second year coaching the Jets? Because we're trending towards this maybe being one and done.
But, I mean, it might be. I mean, we've seen it in New England. They got the right guy in there now, and the right guy's doing it right now. Like, you're not going to get a whole lot of grace period here from these Jet fans if they don't see. But I don't think they've got a good roster either. I think the roster stinks. You know, I mean, you tell me outside of Will McDonald and Jermaine Johnson and maybe Quinnen, like, what excites you about the defense and where they're putting the money? They have safeties are an issue. Receivers are an issue. You know, I mean, it's, you know, they can't find a returner. Like, they've got major issues on that team. So I don't know if Darren Moogie's done a good job either.
I don't disagree with you on the roster, and I thought they were going to be bad this year. I don't think Justin Fields is any good, but I think if you could say at least they go 3-14, but Aaron Glenn is good at game management, you could say, okay, like, you get a quarterback, you get another offseason. The fact that the game management is this bad, like, that's what's alarming. Garrett Wilson's going after him. It's a bad look.
Look, I mean, he's delegated all of the play calling to other guys, right? He's got Tanner Engstrom calling the offense. He's got guys calling the defense. You know, I mean, that's his job, is to manage it, is to look at the situation and be on top of it. And some guys, and I'm not here to throw, you know, Aaron into the crypt after 6 games, but, you know, some guys can be a head coach and some guys can't. And, you know, managing the clock and making good decisions is a big part of it. And so standing up in front of the room when guys are questioning what you're doing at the end of the first half is tough. It's tough on you. So, like, everybody will point to Detroit and what Dan Campbell did and how they struggled. And you can everybody's pointing to that. All right. But we saw a team that was improving in Detroit and was taking on the personality of their coach, you know, by the end of that season, his first season. So we got to see that. We got to see something happen here.
And Campbell was great at game management. And remember, like, was it week four, his first year? The game, they almost beat the Ravens that year, and Tucker hit the 66-yard field goal. They were in all those games. And Campbell's like frying post-game, right? They were in all the games.
I think they did something against the Rams out in L.A. too, because it was Goff going out to L.A. I think they either won the game or came close to beating the Rams.
Like they had all these close calls. I mean, with this, it's like, I'm not trying to, I don't know him personally. Just like, I mean, if this is what it is, Baldy, this is bad as it gets. It's bad.
Well, let's just say you're Quinton Williams.
You got like 10 seconds.
If you're Quinton Williams, you're so sick of losing. Like, at some point, you're just blocking all the noise out. We're 0-6 again. We're out of it. Like, all I've done here since I've been here, and I've signed my second contract, is lose. Like, that wears on great young players.
I wish we had you for longer. Brian Baldinger's the best. Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide. On the other side, it moved week 7 in the NFL.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Oh, man. Baldy is usually pretty reserved and tempered with his comments. You know, like, and I respect that about him. He knows everybody in the league. He is friends with a lot of these people. There's a human element of this. Baldy on Aaron Glenn just now was as strong as I've heard him, and he's never going to come on and be like, he sucks, he should be fired, he's the worst. That's not his style, like, nor should it be, given his role and like what his job actually is. Like, leave the shock jock stuff to people like me. Like, I'll do that. He doesn't have to do that. He crushed him, man. That was awesome from Baldy on Aaron Glenn. He deserves to be crushed.
100%. Like, I don't know how you disagree with anything that he said or any of the criticism that's been out there for Aaron Glenn. Like, it is bad. And not just on the field, like what they're doing on the sidelines in terms of the game management. Like, that can't happen. And maybe he's in over his head and not everybody's cut out for it, like Baldy mentioned. But yeah, this to me feels like one and done, honestly. And that sucks. And like, it seems like he's a great dude. People seem to love Aaron Glenn.
Do you understand like how crazy that is? Can I put this in context for a second? The Aaron Glenn stuff. And I almost want to save this for like a future like segment on the show if this is going to get really bad. But just so like people understand the context here and how insane that would be for Aaron Glenn to be a one and done. And I guess like you can kind of say it's kind of, honestly, it's a little similar to Jerod Mayo. Because Mayo was, now, my opinion, having watched both, I'm actually curious, Femi, I don't think you weren't old enough to watch Aaron Glenn, really, right? When he was in his heyday with the Jets?
So I didn't watch a ton of his Jets stuff. I remember him, honestly, as a Dallas Cowboy. Because like, when Paul Sells came to the Cowboys, he brought him over to the Cowboys. Yeah, but that was like later portion of his career.
Like Bill. I'm fat because, you know, he's really old. Like Aaron Glenn, and they don't play the same position. Like Glenn was better than Jerod Mayo, right? Is that like for, I'm because Bill's the only person besides for me that's old enough to have watched Glenn with the Jets and Jerod Mayo with the Patriots. Like I guess it, like Mayo was a good linebacker. Aaron Glenn was a great corner. Like Glenn, honestly, and I started watching football in 1990, but you know, I know everything that happened in the 80s. Like Aaron Glenn might be the second best cornerback in the history of the Jets. Like behind Darrell Revis.
Behind Revis. Yeah.
Like, he's a team legend. It's a bad team that hasn't won a Super Bowl since 1969. Right? He's like a Jets legend. And the expectations were so low, like this season, the idea that you could fire this guy, who's a Jets legend, and more of a legend with his team than Mayo was with the Patriots, and they had no expectations. Like that's crazy to me. There are parallels with Mayo. I do think it's a little more significant with Glenn as opposed to Mayo. But man, like that, you have to be so bad in order for that to happen. And right now, he's checking all those boxes. And like the Engstrand stuff. Like we came on the show. This is not a Jets show, I know, but like I'm fired up about this right now. Week one after Sunday, we came on that Monday, or maybe it was Tuesday, whatever. And we talked about Tanner Engstrand, and I said, like, Dan Campbell, think about what happened in week one. Engstrand and the Jets had that great game against the Steelers, and the Lions lay an egg in Lambeau against the Packers. And I come on the show and say, did Dan Campbell keep the wrong guy on offense? Like, should Engstrand have been the offensive coordinator? Like, wow. Like, how, the turns have tabled, right? It's crazy. Yeah,
that's week one
the guy's
for you.
A disaster. Yeah. Like, Engstrand's a disaster. Dude, this is terrible. Yeah. They suck.
Yeah, Stink was talking about it yesterday on the show on Tuesday. But like, hey, like the offense, it does not fit. Maybe Engstrand could be good with a quarterback that's more similar to Jared Goff. And I don't think Fields can be better with a different OC. I think we've seen too much of that. But like, maybe that's what it is, that Engstrand's just not willing to adjust to what Fields can do. But maybe Fields can't do anything. So I don't want to pile on Engstrand as much just because the quarterback situation is terrible.
You can pile on him.
I mean, he's trying to coordinate with a quarterback who can't throw.
But like, okay, then don't throw.
Yeah, but it's kind of similar to what you said earlier in the week, though. Like, if you don't throw, okay, let's load up 9 in the box.
Okay.
Good luck running it.
Okay, let me ask you, what do you think has a chance to be more successful? Running Fields into a stacked box or having Fields throw?
Yeah, I mean, it both sounds terrible, honestly.
Both
but yeah,
sound terrible. Running in this he box. Sucks. Yeah. Like, he's awful. Yeah.
But that's what Engstrand has to work with, though. Like, I mean, I think it's a little bit of a raw deal for him to be like, hey, like he's really bad when like the quarterback is probably the worst in the league.
He's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my guy's out there in Cleveland, you know.
I mean, I guess like you'd have to take Fields over Gabriel just because Fields, like his athleticism's insane, but Fields is not good.
No, he's at least an NFL athlete. Dude, like, a great NFL athlete.
Dude, Gabriel, like a Gabriel short. His arm's not strong, and he can't move. Like, the joke I always tell is, like, he's me, except he's playing quarterback.
Yeah. Maybe he's on the Kellen Moore program. Left-handed quarterback, a little bit limited, who's smart.
No. Maybe that's the program he's on. Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore couldn't even get on the field in the NFL. And, like, you say that, and
Kellen Moore threw for 400 yards one game.
This gets a Boise State message board, and, like, the Boise State fans will go insane over this. We got to get to it moved in a second, but Bill asked a question. Is there any non-rookie you would take Fields over who starts? All right, so let's see. Allen, Tua, stop me if you would take a quarterback over. You would take Fields over this quarterback.
Fields over that quarterback.
Allen, Tua, May. Lamar, Flacco. Honestly, like, well, Gabriel's a rookie. No. Rodgers, Stroud, Dimes, Lawrence. Nix, Mahomes, Geno, Herbert. Kyler, Stafford, Purdy, Darnold, Penix, Bryce Young, Rattler. You take Rattler, right?
Yeah,
not even a question. Rattler. You take Rattler.
Yeah.
Baker, Caleb, Goff, Love.
Oh my goodness.
What? I guess like, would you take Fields over Wentz?
That now we got a fun conversation. Because Carson Wentz is just going to be taking sacks like, back there.
Just think about that. What about Fields over J.J. McCarthy? You take the upside with McCarthy.
Yeah, and I also put J.J. kind of in like the rookie kind of bucket too because he's only played 2 games. But yeah, I'd still take McCarthy just off of the chance that maybe he's great.
There were really smart people, and this is like, I bet the Cardinals to win the NFC West. Like, I'm wrong all the time.
Yeah, I bet the Raiders to make the playoffs. Yeah, we all have duds, you know?
There were really smart people that are like, yeah, the Jets are going to be the surprise team in the AFC this year. Like, in what galaxy was that ever going to happen with this quarterback? Anyway, I'm wrong all the time. Again, like, I bet the Cardinals. Yeah. I make terrible bets constantly. Anyway, Let's get to all the side and total movement for week 7 in the NFL with it moved.
I think it moved. I think it moved. I think it moved.
It moved.
Ahead of week 7 in the National Football League. Femi, we got into Justin Fields' rabbit hole there, went down it. So let's try and haul ass a little bit here. Thursday night football, a.k.a. tomorrow night. The Pittsburgh Steelers visiting the Cincinnati Bengals. What do we have here? We got a bunch of games we have to hit. We really have to haul ass.
We do. Yeah, let's get to the betting market and the line movement here, because the side has kind of just been bouncing back and forth between 5.5 and 5. That's where we are pretty much across the board. The total's been interesting, opened as low as 42. We talked with Whale yesterday on the show. He liked the over. A lot of people like the over. This thing is all the way up to 44.5 in some places. There's some 44 out there, but we've already crossed through the key number of 44. From an injury standpoint for Pittsburgh, Calvin Austin has been ruled out of this game dealing with the shoulder injury. But for Bengals, the big one is Trey Hendrickson, their star edge rusher. He has a hip and a back injury listed as questionable. Did not practice at all this week. Going to be a game time decision for the Cincinnati Bengals, but that's the big one that we'll have to look out for tomorrow.
And you said something off air that I thought was interesting as far as you wanting to place a bet in this game as it regards Trey Hendrickson. Share it with the audience.
Yeah, if Trey Hendrickson gets ruled out 90 minutes prior to kickoff, I think this betting market's going to go to 6, and at that point, I'll be betting the Bengals. I'll take Bengals plus 6 at home as a home dog. I hate these kind of spots for Mike Tomlin. Big-time expectations on the road. This is usually when his teams kind of lay eggs. He's the great home underdog coach, not the great big road favorite coach. So it's Bengals or pass for me, but I think when Hendrickson gets ruled out, if he does get ruled out, it's going to present us an opportunity to bet Cincinnati.
During the commercial break, so like a couple minutes from now, because I don't really love the game. I'm going to place a small bet on Steelers minus 5.5. Because Femi's right about what he's saying about Mike Tomlin. The big difference this year, Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to have a small bet on Steelers laying 5.5. All right, Sunday in London, Femi, what do we got with the Rams and the Jaguars?
Yeah, we've actually seen some interest in the Los Angeles Rams over the last hour or so. These were 3 even monies. There was even like a heavily juiced 2.5. Now it's 3 minus 110 pretty much across the board. The total, that has ticked to the under. Opened 45.5, 46. Now it's down to 44.5. The biggest reason as to why is the Rams star wide receiver Puka Nacua did not practice today, dealing with the ankle injury that caused him to miss a large portion, of their win over the Ravens this past Sunday. Their offensive tackle, Rob Havenstein, didn't practice as well. He missed the win against the Baltimore Ravens. For Jacksonville, Devin Lloyd, their star linebacker, leads them with 4 interceptions. He is not going to make the trip to London, so he's already been ruled out. But Puka Nacua is the big one. Did not practice on this Wednesday, and Sean McVay is calling him day-to-day. To me, I would love to bet a 2.5. I don't know if I'm going to get that opportunity. I might just lay 3 once we get to kickoff, but let's see where this market goes.
Yeah, I don't have a strong betting opinion on this game just yet. We can pass it for now. Obviously a huge game, and we'll spend a lot of time on it over the rest of the week. Chiefs and the Raiders, Femi, on Sunday in Arrowhead, and a certain player in red that wears number 4 will be back in action for KC.
Oh, he will be. Welcome back, Rashee Rice, from suspension, set to make his 2025 debut, and also a heavy workload for Rashee Rice. They're not easing him into this thing, although insiders saying that Rashee Rice will have a heavy workload. Now, on a more serious note for Kansas City, I'm not sure what's going on. I don't think anybody knows here, but their offensive tackle, Josh Simmons, the rookie, dealing with a personal matter, missed the game Sunday night against the Detroit Lions. Andy Reid was asked about it by the media today, and he said, Brett Veach is handling everything there. We'll leave it at that. So hopefully everything is going fine for Josh Simmons there, but his status is in doubt. We were sure he was going to play this week.
Did that read to you? Like, I had a couple of people ask me about that today, and like, I have not like dug around with people in the league to ask. It reads to, and I hope this is not the case, that reads to me like someone close to him is like not doing well.
Yeah, because all I know is that he went back to California was what was reported last week. So that's what I would assume. That's like some sort of family matter there.
I don't want to speculate. I could be way wrong on that. But when I saw that report on Sunday that he went home to deal with a personal matter, I'm like,
His mom, his dad. I don't even know if they're alive. Like, I'm not speculating. I have no information, but that's where my brain went is I hope everything's okay with his family.
Yeah, hopefully he's doing fine. Obviously, football, like, family matters first. So hopefully everything is going well for Josh Simmons, and he's going to be doing all right in the foreseeable future. But for the Las Vegas Raiders, Brock Bowers, of course, he's week to week with his knee injury. Did not practice today for the Raiders.
Now, let me tell you about the Raiders tight end and whether he'll be back this week with his bone bruise.
Hey, man, you want it to move or what? This betting market opened at 10.5, touched all the way to 13, and went down to 11.5, which is where we currently sit. And the total, not a whole lot of movement, 46 to 45.5. No real betting interest for me. I think this market's right. Should be the Chiefs as a massive favorite, and they are, so I'm not going to be betting the game.
I will be curious, and I may place a bet on Chiefs team total over. And that may be the bet that I place in this game with Kansas City hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. Well, I mean, we could probably, like, I don't want to do math.
Yeah, I guess
can
you
do it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, can you do it? No. This might get dangerous. Let's see. Let's see if it's posted on the left. Oh, so I see 29.5 is what I see for Kansas City.
Yeah they're going to. Yeah, it should be 30. It should be 39.5. Great. Yeah, against the Raiders defense? God. All right, what about Bill Zimmerman's Bears hosting the New Orleans Saints on Sunday?
Yeah, this game is an interesting betting market here because this was as high as 6 on Sunday. It got all the way down to 4.5 prior to Monday Night Football, but after the Bears beat the Commanders, we went out to 5.5, and now there's been interest on New Orleans. So 5.5 got bet. We're down to 5, which is like kind of like a dead number in NFL, but starting to land a little bit more frequently than it did in the past. But 5 is our spread. The total, that keeps bouncing back and forth between like 47.5 and 47. But the Bears, some pessimism before they played against Washington. They beat Washington, and then they got bet Tuesday morning after that Monday night win. If it gets to 6, I would bet New Orleans, but at this price, I think it's just fine.
Yeah, my guess is I think the Saints will draw some interest because I feel like they get bet in every game.
People have been buzzing about Rattler. They've been buzzing, and he's been good. I think this is right. I don't really have like super strong opinion about like Bears 5. Like Bears 6, then yeah, I'll bet New Orleans, but at this one,
yeah. I think for now... For now, a pass. Total of the game's 47, like it's perfect. No betting opinion on that game at this point in the week. It's Wednesday. More shall be revealed. All right, take a quick break. And on the other side, we'll roll through the rest of the games coming up week 7 in the NFL. Was it my money that moved the Dolphins off 3? Probably not. But we'll do the Dolphins and the Browns and the rest of the slate on the other side on a Wednesday. You better you bet here. On the BetMGM Network.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
All right, Brett McMurphy joins us in 20 minutes. Danny Parkins next hour as well. All our bets for tonight will close the show 1 hour from now. But for right now, we roll on with it. Moved week number 7 in the National Football League. Femi, what can you tell us about the Browns and the Dolphins in Cleveland?
We have moved off of the key number of 3. So this opened up around Browns 1.5, 2 Sunday. And then there was a lot of interest coming in on Cleveland Monday morning and here on Tuesday as we got all the way out to that key number of 3. And at that point earlier this afternoon, then the Dolphins money showed up. Plus 3s got bet to where we're now 2.5 across the board. The total that continues to tick under 41.5 at open. We're now down to 39.5. So a lot of money on the under and money coming in on the underdog Miami Dolphins, who it hasn't been a great week. Tua had to apologize to his team and to the media earlier this afternoon. A lot's been going on, but I agree with you, Nick. I think at three, it was a bet, and it was a bet that I placed as well earlier this afternoon. Luckily, got it before it moved, and Dolphins plus three is in pocket. There's some injury news on Cleveland side with Njoku and Conklin. Those guys didn't practice today, but the big move and the big story is the line movement going from 3 down to 2.5.
Yes, and Tua apologized. And, like, give him credit. Like, I crushed him yesterday. Yep. Needed to apologize. He was really stupid after they lost to the Chargers on Sunday. So, mm-hmm. You know, now let's see how it goes. I like them this week, and then we'll probably not like them very much moving forward. Patriots and the Titans on Sunday. Mike Vrabel's homecoming to Tennessee, where the coach they replaced him with just got fired, and now Mike McCoy will be the interim coach. And Femi, a terrible injury report, right, early in the week for the Tennessee Titans, ahead of Drake May, Mike Vrabel, and New England coming to town.
Yeah, a lot of guys who are not at practice today. Now, some of these, I'm not sure if these are like veteran rest days or these are actual injuries, but from an injury standpoint, Calvin Ridley did not practice. He's still dealing with a hamstring injury. Arden Key, he was not seen at practice dealing with a quad injury. I know like Jeffrey Simmons wasn't at practice, but like some of these things, it might be like non-injury related, like veteran rest days. So I want to kind of pour into that a little bit more once the official designations are released later on this afternoon. And for New England, it's a clean bill of health. Everything's all gravy for the New England Patriots as they're kind of the toast of the town right now in first place in the AFC East. Now, from a betting standpoint, this opened up 6.5 Sunday, immediately went to 7, and that's where we've been hanging out. The total, 42.5 to 42. Doesn't look like we're going to head to 7.5 in terms of the side. I could be wrong on that one, but 7 minus 110 is where we are hanging out. And it just goes to show you what the betting market thinks of Brian Callahan, as this market did not move when he got fired earlier this week. So we're still sitting at 7.
All right, I think Femi's internet had a hiccup. So we are sitting at 7. New England, a 7-point road favor right now at Tennessee coming up on Sunday. We'll move on to the Philadelphia Eagles and the Vikings in Minnesota, where, and I led the show with this game, Philly remains a 2-point road favorite here in Minnesota. So the initial move this week on the Vikings, taking the Eagles down from 2.5 to 2. Philly did get some good injury news today. Jalen Carter just recently said that he's going to play on Sunday. Quinyon Mitchell seen at practice. Landon Dickerson seen at practice. Femi, we don't yet know who the Minnesota Vikings obviously will start at quarterback.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen there. Sorry, I just got booted off for some reason there. But we're back. We're ready to roll. But yeah, J.J. McCarthy was at practice. Carson Wentz, of course, was at practice. And the Vikings had some offensive linemen return, which was the big thing for Minnesota. But in terms of like the market movement, I kind of agree with this market movement. I kind of like the Vikings a little bit in this game. Now, let's see what the report looks like on Thursday and Friday. But if I had to bet the game right now and somebody says you must bet, it would be the +2 or +1.5 on Minnesota. I think this is a coin flip game, and I just don't like where the Eagles are at offensively.
Yeah, you and I will be maybe heads up on this game. I feel like I'll be heads up with like everyone on this game. Everyone's going to like the Vikings, I think. I'll be the lone dissenter on the Eagles. I think this is actually going to be, and it sounds crazy, but I think I'm going to be proven to be right. A get-right spot for Jalen Hurts in the Eagles' offense against the blitz-happy Vikings defense. And if they try and do like what Baldy said, which is, you know, like disguise the pressure and send everybody and then pull everybody back, like, great. I want them to do that because their secondary's not any good. And if the offensive line's healthy for the Eagles and if Dickerson's going to play, great. Like, they're not going to be able to get home because the Eagles' offensive line is too good and they are not going to get pressure without sending a blitz and their secondary stinks. So it's either you blitz to make up for the lack of pressure from the front and Hurts beats the blitz, or you drop everybody in coverage, you don't get home with your front, your secondary stinks, and Jalen Hurts picks you apart. Give me the Eagles coming up on Sunday. Man, I got to tell you, I sounded very convincing just now.
You sound like it's your favorite bet of the week.
They could. So it's not. Maybe, well, I don't know. My best bet of the season, actually, my favorite bet was Chiefs on Sunday night against the Lions. I was actually thinking today, I don't know if there's going to be a bet the whole season that I like more than that one on Sunday night. The Chiefs over Lions with all the Lions defensive injuries in the secondary, less than three. Like, come on. Give me the
Chiefs
Eagles
over Ravens.
Sunday.
That was my favorite bet. Like, getting Mahomes as a dog at home. Like, come on now.
But that was more like, that was fun. Listen, I bet it also. That one was more like the Chiefs are dogs at home, so I'm going to bet this. Sunday night against the Lions was like, I know what's going to happen in this game, and I can't believe that the number's this. And look, I could have been wrong, but I was right. Okay. Panthers and the Jets Sunday at MetLife.
Yeah, this game over the week has seen us flip the favorites. The New York Jets were a favorite. We all saw how Sunday transpired. Carolina beat Dallas. The Jets embarrassed themselves against the Denver Broncos. And now it's been all Carolina money. It got all the way out to 2. At that point, there's some Jets money came in there. So there's some 2 out there, but 1.5 is the consensus number. The total has just been getting hammered to the under. This was 45.5 at open. We're down to 41.5. Not a lot of confidence in what the Jets are doing on offense. Carolina also showed a little bit somewhat on defense. Maybe they could stop the run a little. And if they can do that, the Jets are definitely not going to score in this game. But from an injury standpoint, positive news for the Carolina Panthers. Chuba Hubbard back at practice. Maybe a little 1-2 punch with he and Rico Dowdle. Jatavion Sanders back at practice as well at tight end. Taylor Moten came back to practice, and as did Jalen Coker. He was back at practice as he's looking to activate him off of the IR. And for the Jets, it's bad injury news. Garrett Wilson, their best offensive player, the only guy that's capable of doing anything pretty much on that offense outside of Breece Hall, he's expected to miss multiple weeks with his knee injury. And then Michael Carter II in their secondary, he practiced in full in the concussion. But the Panthers were seeing all the money throughout the week as they've now become the favorite in the game.
Giants and the Broncos Sunday at Mile High. And if I had to bet the game, I'd bet Carolina. I may. Giants and the Broncos Sunday at Mile High.
Yeah, this one opened at 7.5 Sunday night, and it immediately got bet. All the 7.5s are gone. We're now down to 7 across the board. The total, that keeps bouncing between 40.5 and 40. Not many points expected with these two defenses. Giants defensive line, the Broncos probably the best defense in the league. From an injury standpoint, not great for New York. Darius Slayton still DNP with the hamstring. And also John Michael Schmitz, their center in the concussion protocol, did not practice today either. So that's the injury news for the New York Giants. Denver relatively healthy as they've been the healthiest team in the league now going on like 24 straight weeks of football dating back to last year. But a good clean bill of health for the Denver Broncos outside of Ben Powers on IR.
Yeah, I'm gonna bet the Giants. I want to make sure I get the 7. I think the Giants defensive line will be able to disrupt. I do. Well, how about this? I think there will be interest in the Giants at this number.
Yeah, I mean, the 7s are good. There's like some 7-107 out there. So like the 7s are getting bet a little bit. Yeah, I guess it's more likely to go to 6.5 than 7.5. So why not take a shot up?
I'm gonna end up with a ticket on the Giants in this game. Chargers and the Colts Sunday in Los Angeles.
Yeah, this game right now, it's been interesting betting market movement here because the Chargers from an injury standpoint, it's obviously not great. And this was opened up at 1, got all the way out to Chargers 2, and now we're back down to 1.5. So we've been bouncing around, not through massive key numbers here, but still bouncing around nonetheless. The total, that's still been holding steady at 48.5. But from an injury standpoint, the Chargers, obviously, Quentin Johnston, he was back at practice dealing with a hamstring injury, didn't play in their game last week. Joe Alt, of course, not expected to play. Trey Pipkins, DNP as well. He's dealing with a knee injury, so the O-line still banged up for the Chargers. And for Indianapolis, it's their secondary. We all saw Tre'Davious Ward suffer the concussion during warmups before the Cardinals game. And then Kenny Moore, he's back at practice with the calf injury. He's missed a handful of games so far this season. My opinion, it's a coin flip game. If I had to bet it, I would probably bet the Chargers. But, man, that O-line, it's going to eventually catch up to them. And they're going up against a better front in Indianapolis. So I could see this one going either way.
Yeah, I think the Chargers might have a lot of success throwing on this Colts defense. Fascinating handicap. More on that game coming up later this week. Commanders at your Cowboys, Femi, on Sunday.
All the interest has been on the Dallas Cowboys throughout the week. This opened 2.5, and with the Cowboys injury report looking pretty solid, we're down to 1.5. And it wouldn't shock me if we're end up getting at one of these places in the market here. But the interest is because of the Cowboys injury report. CeeDee Lamb, Kevontae Turpin, Tyler Booker, all of those guys back at practice today. Jerry Jones said they're all trending in the right direction, and they're all expected to play come Sunday. For Washington, a so-so injury report. McLaurin, he's back at practice. That's the good news. Unfortunately, Deebo Samuel, DNP today. I'm assuming that's probably just a veteran rest deal, but he was on the injury report with the heel injury. Noah Brown placed on IR, and then Dorrance Armstrong, he has a hamstring injury, one of their edge rushers. He did not practice today. So the side has been all Dallas. The total, that's been all over as it was 52, all the way now out to 55.5 in some places with McLaurin and CeeDee Lamb, the two headliners, back at practice today and looking good for Sunday.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about the bet because I think Dallas might score a lot, but
I think they give up a lot too.
I'm in on Jaden Daniels. I'll take. Yeah, I'm gonna wait. The money line's -130 now. Maybe the just gets a little lower as we approach Sunday. Two more games to hit, Femi. Hit us with both of them to wrap up the hour. Packers at the Cardinals in Arizona, and Sunday Night Football as the Atlanta Falcons visit the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, the side has been hanging out at 6.5 all week. Not a whole lot to say there with the Packers and Cardinals. The total, that's also been bouncing back and forth between 44 and 44.5. Now, from an injury standpoint, Kyler Murray was limited at practice today. Let's see how he progresses throughout the week. Marvin Harrison Jr., he's still in the protocol, but was limited today. So maybe a good sign that he could potentially clear protocol later on in the week. For the Green Bay Packers, Dontavian Wicks, he was back at practice. Christian Watson practicing again. Dontavian Wicks, man, back at practice with an ankle injury. Christian Watson has a knee injury, obviously, that dating back to last year. He was practicing again. I don't think he's going to play this week. Sounds like a next week deal for him. And for Sunday Night Football with the Falcons and the 49ers, interest in Atlanta. This opened 3. We're down to 2 after everybody saw the Falcons beat the Buffalo Bills Monday night. In terms of the total, that's ticked up from 46.5 to 47. Brock Purdy limited in practice today for the Niners. No Ricky Pearsall. George Kittle also limited in practice with his hamstring injury. And for Atlanta, Darnell Mooney, he's got a hamstring. He was limited today. And we're still waiting word on their left tackle, Jake Matthews. But Raheem Morris said he felt really positive about Jake Matthews this week against the 49ers.
I think there's a chance we might have a WTF game on Sunday night with the Falcons and the Niners.
Really?
Maybe.
Ooh.
Falcons defense, if that's what Atlanta's defense is going to be. Niners defense without Fred Warner or Nick Bosa, just saying. Final hour, Power Hour coming up next. We will start the final hour talking college football with On Threes, Brett McMurphy.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.